This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Airline chaos. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, August 8th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Trouble for Delta Airlines, which has been forced to ground its flights for what's described as unspecified systems issues.
Tragedy in Kansas. A 10-year-old boy has been killed at the biggest water slide in the world.
At the Olympics, more record-setting by the Americans, who have the lead in the overall medal count. Plus, the men's basketball team competes against Venezuela this evening.
And regarding the Obama administration's controversial cash payment to Iran, a behind-the-scenes look at moving money.
If you take something like a vacuum-sealed crate of $50 million U.S. dollars, and if they were broken down into denominations of $100 bills, that would come up to an adult man's waist. $1 million in $1 bills weighs about a ton, while $1 million in $100 bills is just a little more than 20 pounds.
Wall Street Journal reporter Emily Glazer on the secrets of moving cash. She's here in about 25 minutes. A lawmaker in Kansas has lost his son to an accident on the world's largest water slide. 10-year-old Caleb Schwab, son of State Representative Scott Schwab, died yesterday while riding on Verrückt, the 17-story tall slide at the Schlitterbahn Water Park in Kansas City. It happened to be elected officials' day at the park yesterday. Officials say they don't yet know what happened. Verrückt, which means insane in German, features riders going down the slide in multi-person rafts. Riders for this one have to be at least 54 inches tall. There are 264 stairs to climb to reach the start. Park spokeswoman Winter Prosapio says the ride does get frequent inspections.
All our rides are inspected every day, actually. And our rides are inspected by an outside party start before the season starts.
Riders sit in a three-person raft and are secured with straps across the waist and shoulders like a seatbelt. The combined weight of riders per raft must be between 400 and 550 pounds. The chute drops 168 feet, and the raft can hit speeds of 60 to 70 miles an hour. The park will be closed today, while the raft ride will be closed indefinitely until an investigation is finished. To politics now. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is expected to continue his version of a campaign reset today when he delivers a speech in Detroit on economic policy. In his remarks to the Detroit Economic Club, Mr. Trump is expected to discuss his economic plan, underscoring his support for tax cuts. He's also likely to reiterate his plan to create a single top business tax rate that would apply to corporations and to businesses that pay taxes through their owners' individual returns. As part of his campaign reboot, at weekend rallies, the GOP nominee read from a handheld script. He was in New Hampshire yesterday, refocusing on Democratic opponent Hillary Clinton.
She will cause, if she wins, which hopefully she won't, the destruction of our country from within.
Mr. Trump even offered a small handful of endorsements. The Wall Street Journal, by the way, says part of the issue for Mr. Trump is that he has run his campaign much like his family business, with his grown children as his top counselors and surrogates. That has meant he has not developed a strong connective tissue to party leaders. Well, some new polls carried almost unanimously good news for Hillary Clinton recently, staking the Democratic presidential nominee to significant leads over Donald Trump. But there's one potential warning sign in these polls should the race narrow. Mrs. Clinton's lead over Mr. Trump shrinks when voters are allowed to choose one of the major third-party candidates in the race. It's a story from Stephen Shepard, chief polling analyst at Politico. Steve, explain.
Well, first, I want to caution and say that if Hillary Clinton is up by 10 or 15 points, this will be nothing but a minor headache on her way to the White House. But if the race does tighten up, and I think there's an expectation that at least it won't, at some point in the next 90-some-odd days, it will, that the presence of Gary Johnson and Jill Stein on the ticket, you know, is going to be an issue for her. You would think that Gary Johnson is a two-term former Republican governor of New Mexico, Bill Weld, as a Republican who was elected to two terms as a governor in Massachusetts, would draw more from the historically unpopular Republican presidential nominee, Donald Trump. But when you look at the polls, when they ask both a two-way matchup between Clinton and Trump or in a three- or four-way matchup, including Johnson and sometimes Stein, Jill Stein, the Green Party nominee, that Hillary Clinton's lead over Donald Trump dwindles just by a little bit. It's something that will matter at the margins, and if it's in a close race, that could be determinative.
Interesting. All right, so maybe tough to tell, but do voters know what, say, Mr. Johnson or Ms. Stein stand for? Or this largely a protest vote?
It looks at this point to be largely a protest vote. You know, when you ask voters their opinion of Gary Johnson, their opinion of Jill Stein, very few voters say they view them favorably or unfavorably. Most of them say that they don't know enough about them to form an opinion. So right now it looks like mostly a protest vote. One of the interesting things that we're seeing, and this could be, at least in terms of a protest vote, that this could be really sort of unique to younger voters. And this is why it might impact Hillary Clinton. It is the younger voters. It is voters under age 30, under age 40, under age 50, who are more likely, according to the polls, to say that when given the option to choose Gary Johnson and or Jill Stein, to defect away from Hillary Clinton. You know, younger voters may view the luxury of a protest vote, whereas older voters may remember some elections in which third-party candidates earned greater support than they have in recent elections, thinking back to 2000, 1996, 1992.
So at this point, could the numbers only grow for, say, Gary Johnson or Jill Stein?
You know, that's a little unclear. Without being able to get their name out there, it's difficult to imagine getting beyond where they are now. The deeper hole Donald Trump digs for himself, they may siphon off some votes from Trump, but at the same time, it may give some of the softer Clinton supporters who defect on the three- or four-way ballot, it may choose them to stick with Hillary Clinton in order to defeat Donald Trump, may make them feel like they don't have the luxury to vote against both candidates. That's really unclear. You know, one thing that we have seen pretty traditionally in the presidential elections, there aren't that many of them in recent times, but if you include elections for Senate, for governor, for Congress, for other statewide offices, the polls usually overestimate the performance of third-party candidates, that on election day, a lot of those people either don't vote or they ultimately choose one of the two major party candidates, decide that they have to choose between one of those two. The one exception, though, to that rule, and the biggest exception to that rule, is probably 1992. Ross Perot outperformed his polls on election day. So it's a little unclear where they can get. The one number I would watch at this point is 15% for Gary Johnson. That is what it'll take to get him on the stage for the first debate at Hofstra University on Long Island in late September. Right now, in polls that include him but don't include Jill Stein, according to Real Clear Politics, his average is a little under 9%. In polls that include both Johnson and Stein, his average is 8%. So he's about half the way there, a little more than half the way there. If he can grow a little bit more and get up to 15%, then that gives him an opportunity to sell his candidacy to voters before what's going to be, I think everyone expects, a really large television audience.
Thanks, Steve. Steve Shepard, chief polling analyst at Politico. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You don't have to be a retail giant or government agency to be the victim of a costly data breach. If you run a website and collect customer data, your small to mid-sized business is just as likely to be targeted by hackers. The Barracuda Web Application Firewall provides cost-effective instant security against automated and targeted attacks, making this WAF a must-have for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda web app firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/WAF.
Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at dell.com/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Good Monday to you. The Emperor of Japan is sending a shockwave around the country this morning after hinting that he'd like to retire. At the age of 82, that might seem like a normal wish, but in Japan, you're supposed to be the emperor until you die. The title of emperor in Japan is a symbolic one. Emperor Akihito, in a rare televised address today, said his age may make it hard for him to fully carry out his duties. He spoke through a translator.
I am older than 80 years now, and sometimes feel various kinds of limitations due to physical weakness.
Mr. Akihito has had heart surgery and been treated for prostate cancer. Stepping down from the throne would be unprecedented. Opinion polls show the vast majority of ordinary Japanese, as many as 85% of them, sympathize with the emperor's desire to dial back his busy schedule and retire. But this would need legal changes. Now, the idea has sparked opposition from Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's conservative base, but for a strange reason. They worry that debate on the imperial family's future could widen to the topic of letting women inherit and pass on the throne. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to Delta Airlines, has grounded flights scheduled to leave after experiencing unspecified systems issues. Confirmation of the troubles came in an official account that responds to customers via Twitter. The airline says flights awaiting departure are delayed. Flights en route are operating normally. Michael Phelps has earned the 19th gold medal of his career, helping the U.S. win the 4x100-meter freestyle relay at the Rio Olympics. Meanwhile, Katie Ledecky got a gold medal with a world record in the women's 400-meter freestyle. Donald Trump plans today to deliver an economic speech to the Detroit Economic Club. Campaign Chairman Paul Manafort told Fox News, Trump will lay out a plan that will focus on cutting taxes, cutting regulation, energy development, and boosting middle-class wages.
He is very focused. He knows what he needs to do. I am confident that he's going to start doing it, and eventually the media will start having to cover it.
Hillary Clinton is expected to deliver her own economic plan to the Detroit Economic Club on Thursday. Russia will be banned entirely from the 2016 Paralympic Games in September, an unprecedented punishment from the governing body for disabled athletes. International Paralympic Committee President Philip Craven says an investigation showed that Russian Paralympic athletes were part of the same state-sanctioned scheme as many of the country's Olympians.
The anti-doping system in Russia is broken, corrupted, and entirely compromised.
An independent probe published last month produced evidence of a vast state-sponsored doping program run by Russian sports officials. And a fort destroyed during the Revolutionary War is again fending off attacks, this time from invaders playing Pokemon Go. Caretakers of Fort Phoenix in Massachusetts say players of the popular smartphone game are damaging the historic site and leaving trash. The Fairhaven Historical Commission says hundreds of players have been descending on the fort often at night because a rare Pokemon can be found there.
Wow. This is the bad news side of Pokemon Go.
More lawsuits.
Exercise and people out and about, yet there's
leaving
somehow
garbage.
Yeah,
pick it up.
Things. Come on, people. Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. See if this is what takes place in your house. A new survey finds that money won't make or break your marriage, but how you spend your time both in and out of the house might. It's published in the journal American Sociological Review. Here's Market Watch reporter Katie Hill. Katie, what are we learning?
with respect to men, no matter when they were married, whether it was before 1975 or after 1975, it wasn't how much money the man made. It was actually whether or not he had full-time employment. And that was a huge predictor of divorce in this study. So I thought that was so interesting. We always say, oh, it's about the money. You know, women need to make more money. Men need to make more money. That's what we fight about. That's what we're getting divorced. But it really just was whatever job, just as long as you had kind of a steady job, that was what, you know, decrease the likelihood of couples getting divorced.
Makes you wonder then about the psychological impact of full-time work, right? Makes you feel good. Maybe you feel better at home too, I guess.
Right, and they didn't really study the reasons, but I would guess so. And you know, the study author said there is probably some of this old, you know, kind of gender roles where, you know, women do maybe still expect men to work full-time. But yeah, I mean, I think part of it too is a good attitude. You feel engaged at work. You know, you're doing something productive. It probably makes you pretty happy, and it helps your marriage.
Interesting. All right, so what was significant then, if anything, about 1975? Anything measurable, say, before then versus after then?
Right. So this was interesting. So couples married before 1975, if the woman did the majority of housework, that helped couples stay happy and not get divorced. Now it doesn't matter. Now those roles are completely just kind of off the table, and as long couples can happily share housework, and that has no impact on whether or not they're likely to get divorced. So I thought that was pretty interesting. I mean, granted, here I'll say this, women still do about 70% of the housework around the house, but there is a lot more splitting, and that has no impact on how happy your marriage is. So I think that's good news for women for sure.
Wow. So that has no impact? Is that what you said? When say men pitch in to help out,
yeah,
with the majority?
Yeah, that did not. Now, I mean, before 1975, if you were married before 1975, it does matter that women do so much housework. But now people really do share roles, and that's, you know, perfectly happy marriages are made out of that sharing of housework roles. So I think it's interesting. Now, it's true that women still do most of the housework, but there's a lot more pitching in by men, and that's, you know, that's not having any negative impact on marriage at all, and probably some positive.
We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill. Her piece is called "Do This and Your Wife is More Likely to Divorce You." So did some of the experts say that this was a surprise then, that it wasn't really money?
Yeah, I mean, this author went into the study thinking, oh, it's going to be financial factors that predict divorce. And really it was no, it was just working full time, no matter what you do, even if you don't make a ton of money, and also housework. But that was only for much older couples. So it was surprised them that, hey, you know, we really can share housework. That doesn't impact, you know, whether you're likely to get divorced. And some earlier studies had said the opposite. So she was very pleasantly surprised by that. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of an interesting new finding.
And at the tail end of the story, too, you said there was a finding overseas that said couples who do share housework were more likely to divorce.
Right. A Norwegian study actually found that in 2012. It's hard to know why there were different findings here, but this study is pretty robust, this one that published in the Journal of American Sociological Review. I mean, she looked at 6,300 couples for this and just found there was no, you know, for modern couples, sharing housework is not going to have a negative impact on your marriage.
Thanks, Katie. MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. The setup is easy, too. In minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com, then enter the code Deal. Again, visit Stamps.com and enter the code Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Glad you're with us on this Monday, August 8th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. System outage grounds Delta flights. A 10-year-old boy dies at the world's tallest water slide in Kansas. Japan's emperor hints at retirement, which is unheard of. New rules in effect today make it harder for teenagers to vape. USA men's basketball competes this evening against Venezuela. A-Rod becomes a $27 million instructor with the Yankees. Pokemon Go earned an estimated $200 million in its first month. And a feel-good story from Indiana about a woman who's created what she's calling a blessing box. That story in about 20 minutes. The White House is still feeling the heat from its cash payment to Iran, which occurred at the same time four American prisoners were being released. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton suggested on Fox News Sunday that he'll accept President Obama's explanation that the roughly $400 million was part of a decades-old settlement, but still said the move sends a, quote, dangerous message to terrorists. And the perception among enemies is that the cash was ransom.
I think it's really shocking to most Americans that the United States government was acting like a drug cartel or a third world gun runner might, stacking cash on a pallet and wrapping it in cellophane and flying it in an unmarked aircraft to give to the world's worst state sponsor of terrorism.
Meanwhile, Wall Street Journal reporter Emily Glazer says the business of moving cash around the world remains a largely secretive and burdensome specialty, one that fewer and fewer banks are involved in. Emily, what have you found?
In this age of heightened regulation around money laundering and terrorist financing, a high-risk business like moving cash, which is really difficult to track beyond just the serial number after it's printed, is really tough. And it's also really low margin, something like around 2 basis points that Bank of America makes off of this. So, for instance, that's 0.02%. Shipping $100 million would only bring in about $20,000 for the bank. The value for them is that they offer a service to clients that a lot of people don't offer. So I know a lot of the folks that I spoke to in the industry said that it's worthwhile in terms of client relationships, but there's a huge risk involved these days.
Yeah, that would say to me that the fees would be sky high. I wonder why that is.
Just sort of the way it's been, and it's a unique business that some people say is a little bit more like cargo than banking. But yeah, unless they're raising the prices in the future, that's what it's been for quite some time.
All right, so speaking of cargo, you painted a good picture of what like giant sums of cash look like in terms of ones or $100 bills. Give us that example.
Yeah, so can't say that I got to actually weigh these myself. Perhaps that's for the follow-up story. But I learned in my reporting that if you take something like a vacuum-sealed crate of $50 million U.S. dollars, and if they were broken down into denominations of $100 bills, that would come up to an adult man's waist. $1 million in $1 bills weighs about a ton, while $1 million in $100 bills is just a little more than 20 pounds. So a lot of the banks tend to make money by the weight as well of how much they're shipping. So what I've learned is that using $100 bills is pretty common since the weight is so much less than, say, a $1 bill.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal banking reporter Emily Glazer. Her piece is called Cash Flies Commercial and Other Secrets of Moving Money. I imagine there's a lot of paperwork involved, too, with that much cash.
Oh, yeah, a lot of paperwork. I mean, even just think about the insurance alone costs millions of dollars for the client to ensure that it's getting from point A to point B without theft. And so there are whole different varieties of logistics around moving cash that are sort of secret if you're not in this niche world. And I think one of the most surprising things that we realize is that cash flies commercial. It literally is in the belly of a plane. We could be on a flight and they could be moving cash.
What is it about cash, I guess, that a lot of us don't know in terms of how it moves around the world? Anything else that jumped out at you?
I think the whole idea of the packaging and the way that the Federal Reserve sort of has this process put together was pretty interesting. There's all this jargon that they use. So, for instance, there are straps, which are a package of $100 bills that add up typically to $10,000. And they, you know, they like the portraits in the same direction. So that's sort of, you know, whichever president or figure is on the bill. A bundle is a package of 10 straps, and then those are vacuum sealed for transportation. They all get put together on pallets and then, like I mentioned, fly commercial. So we used an example of Bank of America transporting money for one of its largest clients in Europe, Credit Suisse, and it often sends them U.S. dollars. Typically, what we learned is that Credit Suisse often buys $15 million to $50 million of U.S. dollars a day from Bank of America, and it often flies from John F. Kennedy Airport in New York, and then ultimately arrives in Zurich, and then gets to their vaults, which happen to be in the same building.
How about that? Wall Street Journal reporter Emily Glazer. It's 20 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username at This Morning Show. You could follow me directly on Twitter at Gordon Deal. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. So if you're watching Sunday night's telecast of the Olympics and wondered, as I did, why Michael Phelps' body was covered in red circles ahead of the U.S. men's 4x100 relay, wonder no more. According to various news reports, Phelps and other U.S. athletes have been taking part in something called cupping, in which you use suction cups to pull back your skin to loosen your muscles and tendons as a method of recovery and to relieve tension.
What? Could you say that again?
Cupping?
Yeah. Cupping?
Yeah.
And explain what happens again?
you apparently stick cups to your skin,
yeah,
and it relieves the tension, and you pull them off, and there's some red circles and marks left on your arm. It looks painful, doesn't it?
This is a thing.
It's apparently a big thing. It's all the rage in Rio.
Wow.
Let me tell you more. It can be done with heat by lighting flammable liquid in a glass cup and suctioning that to your back once the flame goes out, with the decrease in temperature creating the suction. But USA Today says that some take the do-it-yourself approach, applying the cups themselves and creating suction with a pump. Despite the gruesome-looking bruises it leaves behind, many athletes, including Phelps, swear by the cupping method, saying that it really does help ease the physical demands on their bodies. This is lots of people doing this. And Phelps was covered in red
circles. He was
circles.
Covered in them?
Like, he looked like he had, you know, a disease of some kind, but apparently not. Apparently he's just doing
How
this
big are they,
thing.
Would you say? I didn't see these things.
They're like a cup shape, like a coffee cup,
oh,
basically.
Coffee?
Yeah, yeah. So they're like
and
round
had them
red
all
circles.
Over?
Yeah, like all over his body, yeah.
That is incredible.
Yeah, that's
like the technology in swimming sometimes is mind-boggling, whether it's the suits or the training or now the recovery method.
I mean, Phelps is, you know, basically an old man in swimming circles now, so he's got to do anything he can to keep up with these younger guys.
What do you say to, like, a fellow athlete if you want to get this treatment? You want to go cup? Is that is that like the phraseology?
I think so.
Some cupping?
There was actually, Michael Phelps actually has a Instagram photo from like almost a year ago doing this. So he's been doing this for a long time now.
He's a veteran cupper.
Yeah, and he's makes no bones about it. Here I am. I'm cupping. Here's the picture of me getting cupped or
I
whatever.
I cup, you cup, we all cup.
Right.
Okay.
And an update, Gordon, on a story we told you about last week and has been getting quite a bit of national attention. It looks like we now know the truth behind the creepy clown sightings in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Gags, the Green Bay clown, started showing up on the streets of the city at the beginning of last week, spurring dozens of calls to police and even inspiring a Facebook page that has now has over 25,000 likes. Reactions to Gags have ranged from horrifying to amused, but now a local actor has exposed the origins of the clown to local TV. A man named CJ Guzan says that he was one of the actors who tried out for the role of the clown, which he says is part of a viral marketing campaign for a yet-to-be-released short film. Guzan wanted to set the record straight because he wants people to know that the clown is fake and not dangerous, and that the people who say they're afraid to go outside or are arming themselves in case of a clown attack have nothing to worry about.
All right.
So we sort of suspected this.
I think
right?
We did. Yes. And now it has come out.
And apparently it's working. I mean, as long as nobody gets hurt,
yeah,
you know, or nobody gets really scared or anything. I mean, this it sounds like this viral marketing campaign works.
Well, I think that was his between the lines message here.
Yeah.
I'm a clown. I'm promoting stuff. Please don't shoot me.
Well, yeah.
That was basically what that was. He said, there's no need to arm yourself.
Right, right.
I'm just a guy promoting a little entertainment here.
Let's all back off, folks.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning. It's 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon Delta says a major system-wide network outage has delayed flights worldwide, and technicians are working to resolve the computer problem as soon as possible. Flights scheduled for departure are not taking off, but those already in the air are operating normally. Delta operates 5,000 departures a day and is a member of the SkyTeam Alliance, along with airlines including Air France. It also partners for transatlantic flights with Virgin Atlantic. A Kansas City, Kansas water park will be closed today following the death of a 10-year-old boy on a water slide billed as the world's largest. Caleb Schwab, the son of a state representative, died yesterday at Schlitterbahn Water Park while on a 168-foot tall water slide. This woman was at the park with her children when she heard about the accident.
I'm sure they felt was safe in Schlitterbahn because there's lifeguards and there's staff and there's people there that are supposed to make us safe.
Riders on the Vrkt are supposed to be at least 54 inches tall and 14 years old. It was not immediately clear why a 10-year-old was on the slide. Rock barriers are replacing a temporary rope fence along the beaches of Seven Seas Lagoon at Florida's Disney World, where a 2-year-old boy was snatched by an alligator 2 months ago. Disney says the walls, part of a wildlife management plan developed in the days and weeks following the tragedy, will be finished by October. The critics hated it, but the moviegoers, who expressed their feelings with their dollars, helped put Suicide Squad at number one over the weekend. The movie took in $135.1 million and, as a result, became one of the year's biggest box office debuts. Meanwhile, not so great numbers for the Olympic opening ceremony. Friday night's show was seen by 26.5 million viewers in the U.S., a 35% drop from the audience who watched the opening parade from London 4 years ago. NBC says some of that difference will be made up when streaming and time-shifted viewership is figured in, but still, it's an early sign the Rio Games may not be as popular as the London Games.
I watched a little bit of that, but I was more than disappointed that I did not see Pele.
Oh,
he didn't
we talked
light the
about
torch.
That Friday.
Yeah, that marathoner got to do it. I guess he's just not well enough, which is disappointing.
It is, yep.
Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The bad news in the media may be a downer at times, but a woman in Muncie, Indiana, is doing her best to provide some good news. The Star Press in Indiana reports that Janetta Presley created a blessing box and placed it near the end of her front yard. The small black cabinet resting on a piece of wood and a cinder block is stocked with non-perishable food items and basic toiletries. A sign on it reads, "Take what you need, bring what you can." Contents of the box include dry pasta, sugar, peanut butter, baby formula, diapers, and shampoo. People who need these goods can take some during times of need. Then, when they get their own money, they can bring back items of equal value. Ms. Presley stocks just one type of each good to reinforce that others should take only what they need. The paper says, too, that Ms. Presley has epilepsy, which requires her to own a service dog and attend numerous doctor's appointments, so a neighbor helps maintain the box any way she can. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are three numbers you should know. 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. 2000 is the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. That's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more.